Coming up on Roundabout One, legendary gangster's Cadillac is headed to the auction block. A new technology prevents drivers' cell phones from working and alerts the cops at the same time. Plus, later in the show, we'll introduce a brand new segment featuring the safety advocate, Donald Bloomberry. Roundabout is sponsored by Advance Auto Parts. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, to get up to $30 off your next purchase, and by everyone's favorite online retailer, Amazon.com.
From a planet far, far away of Autobitalians, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
Some dude from a land full of raw automobiles. I am the Josh Lewis.
Live from the new Autoline studio, I'm your host, Craig Cole.
Flying the space shuttle with my new TriCaster, I'm producer-in-chief, Ben Sanders.
And this is Roundabout.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode 135, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Woo! Michelle, you nailed it! You got it!
Out of 135 episodes!
Boom! You get a crouching ovation. I can't stand up, but I would be if I could. We are back, folks! We're coming at you live right now, the brand new Autoline studio. Really, it's the same studio, but we've got a whole slew of new stuff. We're testing out here tonight, Roundabout. We're out of the break room in the back. We're glad to be here joining you live right now. Of course, we've got Michelle Naranjo, our resident Autobitalian, on the line right now out in Long Beach. How you doing, Michelle?
I'm doing good, Craigie. How are you?
I'm swell. I really am doing quite well. And of course, on the opposite coast, we've also got Mr. McLewis, the raw automobilian. Balian.
You know, it's kind of interesting. We have all three major sections of the United States cover right now. The East Coast with my awesomeness, the West Coast with Michelle's greatness and blurry vision, and then somewhat of the middle area with you guys.
Yeah. It's very... America is really... What's a good analogy? It's like a pie.
It's
the outside
like a brownie,
gets crispy.
Craig. It's been sliced three ways.
Well, no, you think about it. The outside gets crispy and delicious, and there's mush in the middle, right?
The goodness all happens in the middle section.
Yeah. There's this droopy, saggy, kind of flat, lumpy area. It's flat and lumpy.
Look, they're all just trying to get to the apples in the center of the pie. That's all that matters.
Let's be honest. When we're talking pie, the crust, a good crust is actually the best part, with a little of the smearage of the filling.
So you're saying where I live is fantastic, then?
Or where Michelle lived. They're on the periphery.
The East Coast. You know. Well, I don't know about that, because we can't go below the surface. I mean, that's really pushing your ability to breathe and eat and talk and things like that. So,
well, I'm speaking figuratively, of course, Josh. I know as a child you were trapped in that vat of jelly. Terrible.
I got
accident.
My head stuck in a peanut butter jar one time, and it really sucked.
You what?
No, I was just kidding. I never got my head stuck in a peanut butter jar. I just wanted to say that as a joke. It was actually a pickle jar that was in one of those gas station convenience stores in the middle of nowhere.
But where they have the bins with the beef jerky, you lift the lid and you can just reach in there and grab whatever you want. It's very unsanitary.
Yeah, but this was actually a pickle jar with the pickle juice, and they were trying to give me a swirly, but I asked them not to because the toilet was just even more disgusting. So they went for the pickle jar, the giant pickle jar that just sits there, and you just unscrew the whole top.
So they goosed him with a Slim Jim. He pulled his head out, and then here we are. So let's go on.
But Michelle, I was just going to mention something.
Yeah,
he mentioned, he talked
anyway.
About disgusting bathrooms, and about 2 years ago, Ben, I thought you pointed out you're pulling a historian role here, but you pointed out Ben had an encounter with a disgusting restroom. What happened?
A traumatic encounter.
Traumatic. Yeah, exactly. 2 years ago, what was it, the 8th, I believe, I posted on Facebook about our anniversary of when we ran out of gas in the Lincoln NKT in the middle of Wyoming because Sync kept telling us that there were gas stations that didn't exist.
And we'd drive past and then turn around.
Probably existed during the Depression, but right. They were out of business.
Right. And, of course, this was, you know, we decided we were going to drive straight through from Detroit to Yellowstone.
Genius.
In one straight
genius.
Drive, right?
We did it.
So Ben needed to do a duty. in a bad way. And when we finally found a gas station, it was closed. We had to wait for a couple of hours for it to open. Craig astutely went about half a mile down the road to where some road construction people had a porta potty and used that. But Ben refused because
pride. He was swelling with pride, among other things. Right.
And what Ben found when the gas station finally opened was an experience I don't think he will ever forget.
Horrible. He was devastated because of that and because nobody ate his blueberry muffins that he bought.
They were expensive blueberry muffins.
They got smashed under the luggage. I don't know. They're disgusting.
Well, I remember in a bathroom incident in Virginia where the stall doors... One was too short, so it wouldn't close. The other was too long, so I had to actually like hold it with my foot to try and keep it closed.
But that sounds like it might have been cleaner than what Ben.
No.
I'll tell you what. I went to the Port-a-John briefly, and that was the hands down the nicest Port-a-John I have ever seen in my. It was like. There were sparkles when I opened the door. I kid you not. It was like factory fresh, brand new. And Ben refused to use it. He flat out refused to go down there, and he'd rather sit and suffer for like an hour and a half.
And the bathroom I did use, there was a sign in there that said, "Do not drink this water."
Well, you had to wash your hands in the bowl, right?
Right. Oh. But it had one of those blue things in it, so that helped.
The flavor cake.
Yeah. But anyway,
when we ran out of gas, I said, "Don't worry, we're on an adventure. It's all going to be okay." And Ben goes, "Whatever, hippie."
Did he do that? I didn't see it.
Yeah, well.
He was pissed. He was being a moodosaur, Michelle. You got to cut him some slack here. Pisces, I warned you.
When I had my bathroom experience, there was a guy who came in behind me and went in. Not behind me that way, but he went into the urinal next to the bathrooms. And this guy peed nonstop. I timed it for a little over a minute and a half. And then he paused. He paused, let out the loudest fart I've ever heard, and then kept peeing for another minute. It was the most I was like, how did this guy learn how to pee? Like 2.5 minutes of pee with a fart in the middle. I was like, this is the worst bathroom experience I've ever had.
Well, here's the story for you guys. This is turning into bathroom chat, but I got to tell this story. This one guy that worked in the shop with my dad was really anal about stuff. And one day this guy was the jokester in the shop. He knew the one guy was in the stall. He was going to be there for a little while. So we followed him in, filled up a plastic squeeze sports bottle, you know, with one of those lids that pop up that you could drink out of. Filled that with just tap water, went into the stall next to him, started squirting it into the bowl, and then immediately turned all over the floor and made sure to just liberally splash the guy's shoes as he's sitting there. And he got so angry, I was told. That's a brilliant prank to try.
Make sure that you are a professional mixed martial artist if that happens. Let's play that joke when we've got somebody that's just can really kick some great ass.
Yeah. So anyway, guys, I believe we've got a program to get through here. And
program.
I shall start things off if you are ready.
No.
Well, let's get going then. Rain and snow can make roads a slippery mess. Precipitation's visibility-reducing abilities are also just as dangerous. But driving blinded by weather may soon be a thing of the past. According to Gizmag.com, a group of researchers at Carnegie Mellon University are developing a new headlamp that can actually make rain and snow nearly invisible. This interestingly fangled technology is made up of several components, including a digital light projector, the part that actually functions like a headlamp, as well as a video camera, and something called a beam splitter. I don't know what that is. Basically, how the whole setup works is the camera can see precisely the area that the projector, the lamp, is illuminating, and it knows exactly where the headlights are shining. So as a raindrop starts to enter that lighted area, in the camera's field of vision, a computer can calculate its trajectory and is actually able to selectively deactivate the projector's output in perfect sync with that raindrop. So basically what I read that as meaning is the system is actually eliminating reflections from the raindrops or snowflakes by turning off specific parts of that beam. I'm assuming it's almost like a, you know, a TV screen that's projecting the light out, and they can turn off little pixels of it to cut the reflection down and keep you from being blinded. That's pretty neato, I think. Who knows when it's going
to... I would have to say this.
Yeah, I mean, no idea when this is going to make it into production, but...
Or where it will first appear.
I know,
on
but
the roads.
This is a pretty interesting safety innovation.
I think Donald's going to have something to say about this later. I mean, he is sleeping on the couch right now, and he's scratching himself in an area I don't want
to
describe.
In a shortly, because
yes.
we have a new segment, as I teased at the top of the show. It's for safety's sake. So we're gonna get to that. We don't want to give away the nugget yet.
Yep.
We've got to get to Michelle. You are up.
Get to me. Some people are just awesome and some people are just middle of the road. One woman who hailed from Riverside County, California, is the definition of middle of the road because she is responsible for the lines that remind drivers everywhere to keep to their sides of the road. Dr. June McCarroll, she was a doctor, who knew, idea was at first ignored by the county, but after painting her road with cake flour, an extensive letter writing campaign, and much ado about something, I'm assuming from her neighbors, the painted markings on California roads became law in November of 1924. Now you know.
Really? There weren't lines on the road until 1924?
Well, yeah, there weren't really sidewalks forever. I mean, sidewalks didn't exist.
Well, I mean, God, I mean, in the 80s, though, Los Angeles didn't have any lines on the road from all the cokeheads walking down the street just sucking them up.
That was flour she used, Josh.
Damn it. Thanks.
But it seems so obvious there are lines on the road and you stay within them. But I guess back then there weren't? I mean... Could you just drive on the left if you wanted to? Or was there even a rule telling you what you had to do? It's crazy talk, Michelle. Crazy!
Now, I, personally, I don't owe this lady nothing. You know why? Because I can drive on my side of the road just fine, while the others weave in and out because they have no idea. So, it's everybody else, not me, because I'm the best.
Scott in Cleveland in the chat room is asking about reflectors for the road, and I think that the reflectors were actually invented by a guy called Dr. Bott, because they're called Bott's Dots.
Bott's
and I don't
dots.
Know what year that they were invented, but apparently Mr. Bott, or Dr. Bott, I think he was a doctor, I can't remember, but he invented the Bott Dots, which are, you know, I get hung up on those sometimes.
This sounds like a candy. Get Bott's Dots!
I know, it does.
Seven fruit flavors! Coconut's not a fruit, though, is it? Well, nobody likes those anyway. Josh! Teepees!
Well, yes, teepees, talking about those things. Marco! Paul! Have you ever had that feeling driving down the road behind a truck with tons of metal poles, trees, porta-johns, or whatever else, that something was going to fall off and fly through your windshield? Yeah, well, you're about to have your fears confirmed. Different way. Donald Bloomberry would be flipping out over this safety issue. According to police in Deming, Washington, a woman driving a white Toyota Camry, it's always the ones in Toyotas, isn't it, was driving behind a station wagon with a trailer full of, and you guessed it, TP poles, when the station wagon slowed down to allow a dump truck to turn in front of it. The driver of the Camry did not notice the station wagon slowing and slammed into the trailer of poles. Holy tits. So when you see the pictures, the poles went through the windshield and out the back glass. So, wow. The driver got lucky, lived. And for me, when I read the story, it sounded to me like Toyota now need a new unintended situation to happen. Braking. So,
That's kind of scurry.
Yeah. When you look at the pictures and you see that this woman survived that, like, that's a similar issue which put Robert Kubica in the hospital for quite some time, except his was, he caught a guardrail and went straight through the car
now,
and almost killed him.
These are actually TP poles?
They're TP poles, which I didn't even know that there were, like, I didn't even know that, like, TPs had poles that you could, like, transport. Like, I didn't...
Well, what tribe? Potawatomi, Shoshone, Chippewa?
Who's a TP pole wholesaler, so...
Yeah, I have no... This is just the... This is one of the weirdest stories I've ever seen in my entire life, because...
Really?
Number one, TP poles? Really? Who transports a TP pole? And number two, a white... Do people still drive white Toyota Camrys?
Yeah, about 400,000 a year, actually. But
white ones? I thought they all were like gold and ugly.
No, if I were to pick the most bland color, it would be white.
Oh, I like white. I'm a good sports car.
White is what you see on Econoline vans for plumbers.
That's true.
It's municipal.
With a big old toilet on the side.
Anyway, another article about a vintage automobile, you say? Don't mind if I do. What we've got here is a doozy. No, not really, but it is pretty awesome nonetheless. According to Autoblog, Al Capone's 1928 Cadillac sedan is up for sale. This armor-plated beauty is powered by a flathead V8 engine and features a fold-down rear window so scofflaws could shoot at would-be pursuers. Handy to have. It used to be lined with some 3,000 pounds of armor plating, but that was removed in a previous restoration. The car is actually going up for sale with RM Auctions at the Concours d'Elegance of America in Plymouth, Michigan, a little bit later this month, in fact, about 2 weeks away. The last time this green and black four-door changed hands was roughly 6 years ago, and at that time it sold for more than $621,000. Will it go for that much now? Who knows? But it's estimated to sell for anywhere between $300,000 and $500,000. I wouldn't mind having this one in my garage.
Good,
you know,
sir.
What? I saw one of these.
Really?
Yeah, I think that Harrah's had one in their collection that got sold when they, you know, started selling off, and it ended up in one of the hotels that's out in Prim, which is in the middle of nowhere in Nevada.
It's a pretty nice-looking car.
It is a beautiful car, and I really wish that it still had all of the original armor plating, because that would be very, very cool.
It doubled the weight of the car, I'm sure. 3,000 pounds.
3,000 pounds. That's probably more than double the weight of that car.
Fisker, isn't it?
That's a good episode title, Ben. Jot that down. Yeah. It showy is pretty.
That's a good car, though. That would be awesome to have in your collection.
It may resist bullets, but it can't get you out of tax evasion.
Oh,
snap. Well, Hummers.
Speaking of
Hummers.
Heavy vehicles.
Yeah, speaking of heavy vehicles, I mean, this little story I'm going to read is very short because I think it's just more important to feast your eyes on the photo, which will be linked from the roundaboutshow.com page when we post this. But the over-the-top Hummer featured on Hooniverse has got to be a Photoshop job. Is it the Bulldog perched on the front? And I don't mean Bulldog like a little, you know, thing on the hood. This is a platform with a Bulldog coming out of the front. Is it the, I don't know, what, 20 swans swimming around the roof line? It's obviously Photoshop, though, because it's not in a handicap parking spot. I never see one of these if it's not in a handicap parking spot.
Really?
Yeah.
I see them all the time, but never in handicap spots. That's interesting. I guess, I don't know, maybe everybody in California just, it's like, I gotta have a Hummer, and I'm handicapped.
Well, Mama does love Hummers.
Do you see a lot of them still, Michelle? We don't. I rarely see Hummers. It's like that whole fad just burned itself right out.
You know, it's funny. I see them with the rare times I go to a mall, and they are always in a handicap spot.
Always.
That's very interesting. It didn't surprise me, though. I'll admit that.
Yeah. This is the worst thing I think I've ever seen.
That dog is pretty awesome. I bet that dog's going to weigh a lot.
Why is it hanging off the front of this thing? Is that even legal?
No, there's no way that's...
It's like a battering ram.
It's making a statement. All you hybrids, get out of my way or my dog will puncture your car.
Puncture your nickel metal hydride battery, resulting in a fire.
Yeah, and then I back out and drive away.
What's next on the rundown, Josh?
Well, just very just very quickly, it's definitely resistant to bears and other animals if you drive it into a zoo because of all the things that they would get stuck on and impaled by. So that's good news.
Those are swans, Josh.
Oh.
If you look close, they're swans.
Oh, they are.
They look like impaling devices.
They look like ninja stars. I thought they were ninja stars at first as well, and then I started looking closely, and it was their swans.
Dude, they are swans. Holy crap. This human being is just...
We don't know the gender.
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway. So, there's a new bit of technology out. People always want to invent something. They always want to help you out. But I say, leave me alone when I'm in my car, damn it. It's not my fault that there are other drivers, other morons out there who can't drive for crap. If I talk in my phone, I'm rather good at still knowing what's going on around me because I have this crazy thing that I can do. What's it called? Oh, yeah, multitasking. But according to Edmunds Inside Line report, and according to their Just the Facts part of this article, researchers at India's Anna University of Technology have developed hardware that blocks a driver's mobile signal, yet allows passengers to use their phones. The system triggers a jammer and an antenna above the driver's seat to block the mobile signal. An embedded transmitter also alerts the police when the driver uses a phone, so their infraction has the potential to earn them a ticket. How about teaching people how to drive cars properly first? Huh? So,
ooh, burn.
What do you guys think of this? Yeah. Hey, you know what? People in India, you kidding me? They're worried about mobile phones. They're not worried about death roads that have 40 million people
that's
on them.
That's a good point. And motor rickshaws without any safety equipment or just crushing pollution. Yeah.
Well, being as India is like the outside of China is the fastest growing both mobile and automobile buying culture. I would imagine they probably have a reason to study that. Interestingly, Skosh actually has a device that already does this.
But here's what I find more interesting. India have so many other things to worry about, like feeding their hungry, starved people of their country. I think Anna University should figure out how to turn a cell phone into a sandwich while it's in a car.
Maybe you should look at how many people in this country are starving before you start talking like that.
Mm. No, look, but this is from India. This is technology from India. Well, hang on, wait a second. This is technology from India. That's all I'm saying. If it were technology from California, I'd say the same thing. So there you go.
Hungry folks abound. So give to your local food bank. That's Roundabout's advice this week. Tip of the week, Ben.
Where's
the
chime?
Play the chime. Dig it up. Do a search in the finder. I know you've got
so
it.
So badass.
There you go. Anyway, this heated discussion will continue after the break because we're going to get to our newest segment, For Safety's Sake, with Donald Bloomberry. And we're going to meet your roadmates, what to look out for out there on the highway. In the meantime, though, we got to thank our fine friends at Advance Auto Parts because they are such a fine sponsor of the program. Michelle, have you purchased anything from Advance of late?
No, and I probably should because the Z3's got some needs and wants.
Oh, what's wrong with
it
now?
I have.
More troubles? I know you were having starting or something problems a while back, but...
Yeah, the key set keeps resetting itself, so, you know, then you have to get it hauled into the BMW dealer and...
They don't buy from Advance, those pricks.
No, but I do need some like fuses and stuff. Like my back windshield wiper is currently not working, and that's easy enough to fix.
Well, let me let you in on a little secret here, Michelle.
Okie doke.
I don't know if you heard this 15 times already in the past week, but there is a very special, very exclusive offer available only to Roundabout listeners. If you go to our website, roundaboutshow.com, you will see on the right hand sidebar of the page a little banner, a little ad advertisement. It's about rectangular. You click on it, it'll take you to the Advance website where you can do all kinds of shopping. What you do, you follow that link from the ad, takes you to Advance, you do your shopping as you normally would, fill up your cart with brake pads, rotors, fluids, whatever you need, load it up, buy it. And if you spend $30 with Advance after following our link, you are eligible to save up to $10. That's right. You'll take $10 right off that $30 order. If you spend $50, and it says right on the screen there, if you spend $50, Take 20 right off the top. If you hit 100, I know, big spender, you drop a C note, Advance is going to chop $30 right off the top of your order. That is major savings right there. People say put your money in or an IRA or, you know, buy stock to invest. Well, this is a better investment. You save more by doing this.
Protect your future.
Protect your investment. They by only buying parts from Advance and roundaboutshow.com.
But, Craig, there's something that disturbs me a bit about this. I'm a little wary about buying stuff online because I always have to pay for shipping, and it's like the discount that I get is like cancel. What?
Hold that thought. Because there is a second prong to this savings offensive.
No.
And that is.
It's pronged?
It's two pronged savings offensive.
Can I buy that at Advanced Auto Parts?
Is it a spork?
It's technically three pronged, but.
One broke off. They're only plastic. Okay. Two-prong savings offensive here. If your order hits $75, which if you're buying a lot of stuff is very easy to do, if your order hits $75, Advance will give you free shipping to any address of your choice. They'll send it right to your home, free of charge. Free of charge. If your order does not hit that $75 threshold, however, you are not sold out. Don't worry. They've got something for you as well. They give you free shipping to an Advance Auto Parts of your choice. So if you've got a store a block down the street from your home, very easy. Just go down there, pick up your parts, and you are on your way to savings and better motoring through a strong value. Right, Ben?
Stoing!
That's the savings sound effect, I understand. So one more time, you go to roundaboutshow.com. You click on the Advance link on the right-hand sidebar of the page, and you can save $10 off an order of $30. 20 off an order of 50, or 30 if you hit $100. Huge savings. All you do, when you check out, you enter the promo code listed on our website, roundaboutshow.com. You'll see the savings come right out of your basket at checkout. It couldn't be simpler. It really couldn't. And we thank Advance for their support of Roundabout. So with that, we can get back to the meat and potatoes of the show. And with this, I would like to introduce our newest segment. I've teased it several times already, but it is called For Safety's Sake with Donald Bloomberry. You know, he is a tireless advocate. Donald brings more than three decades of safety expertise to the table across many disciplines and domains. And with informative insights and penetrating analysis, we think you'll find this eye-opening feature encouraging as well. So without delay, Ben, I think we'd better get Donald on the line, landline that is. He, in fact, doesn't have internet access or, frankly, even a computer because he will not tolerate the risk of electrical shock or carpal tunnel. So, Ben, why don't you dial him up there, probably rotodial. Okay, it sounds like it's ringing.
One ringy-dingy. That's two. Two ringy-dingies.
Well, he may be sleeping on the couch, I think, as Josh, you alluded to earlier.
He is.
I don't know if he live webcasts that. No, he can't. He doesn't have internet.
Can you get him to pick up, perhaps?
Hey, Don. Don? Hello?
How did he do that? He answered when the phone was still ringing.
There's some interference or something, Ben. Clearly, it's electrical related. So, Donald, are you on the line there?
Why, yes, I am, young Sonny.
How have you been doing, sir? Glad to have you on the horn again here.
Well, thank you. Thank you, son. I got this little thing in my back. It's really just kind of, I don't know. You don't want to hear about my problems. You don't love me.
No, well, love is a strong word.
Well, do you at least like me, Craig?
Well, we wouldn't have you on the program if we didn't tolerate you, right?
Well, listen here, Craig. I just got one thing to say right now. If you ain't going to be nice to me, I ain't going to be on this program! Okay?
Because it is a risk, I know. So, Donald, we brought you on here. You are you're the safety advocate. You are a tireless proponent of protectionism. Am I right?
Emphasis on the, because there ain't nobody else like me, baby.
Is that so?
That is. That's what my mama always told me. Then again, she had 13 children. I was the only one that survived because I didn't do nothing. Because
she wasn't practicing safe child rearing.
No, she just got rear-ended all the time. The problem is, and this is what I'm going to tell people, and this is something I've really not ever talked about with anybody, especially on the radio. The problem is, I had 12 siblings. they all went out and did things. They all went out and played ball. They all went to school. And they all died.
But you're a survivor.
That's because I stayed at home. I was a homeschooled child because I said to my mama when I was 2 years old. That's right, 2 years old. I said, Mama, I can't go out there with all those people. I just ain't going to do it. I'm not going to be unsafe like that.
And you know what? You didn't. And that's why you're here today. And you are going to tell us. You see, there you are up on the screen. I can see you, Donald, the safety advocate, pushing for safety. Although in that photo, you are outside, which is curious. But what is this week's hot button safety issue? What is going on here?
Well, Craig, I just want to talk about one thing right now that is very important to my heart, and that is lane departure systems. Because they can actually cause crashes. They can cause death.
Hold on. This is a safety feature, Don. You're telling us it's causing crashes. I don't believe you.
It's also causing incontinence.
I'm not going to call you a liar, but you're very hard to believe right now.
You know what? I will hang up this phone right now. You can dial me all you want with your little rotary, and I will say, no, I'm not going back on that show. Because they don't understand how safe I am and how much I have studied these things.
Well, walk us through the steps then, Donald. You've studied this. This is your area of expertise. Take us through the steps of lane departure system. Why are they more dangerous?
Well, Craig, it's like this. This is just ridiculous. People thinking that a computer could save their life. I've never heard of such a nonsense in my entire life. Laughable, even. You're driving down the road. Driving down the road, and all of a sudden, this car is supposed to stop for you. Or even better, if you get tired, and instead of pulling over and get some rest, you gotta be a dummy and fall asleep while driving. Damn dummy. But you think your car will save you by letting you know when you stop moving out of the lane and you're driving in. That's ridiculous. Only, think about this scenario. You fall asleep, it tries to beep and buzz and wake you up. It says beeping and buzzing and buzzing and beeping. Only it sounds and feels like a dream. So you crash anyway. No matter what they tell you, they're trying to hurt you. A computer can't save lives. It can't do nothing for you. It can create bombs and wars and politicians. That's why I say sit at home and enjoy the safety of not being electrocuted, stabbed by papery things, or even having to smell someone's bad breath. Enjoy your time on this earth. Do nothing and die happy.
It's quite the mantra there, Donald.
It is the mantra. But it's the mantra of truth.
Okay.
One time, Jimmy Carter once said to me that I would be the most prolific character this earth has ever seen. This is just ridiculous. Don't talk to me. I said, Jimmy Carter, you are trying to poison me with all your ways, your wisdom and ways of being a crazy Baptist president. You little peanut person.
He was a peanut farmer, as I recall.
Yeah, well, you know what? He busts nuts.
Oh, that's pretty funny right there, Donald. I got ahead of you. So, thank you for this presentation. I'm going to have to read up on this research here about lane departure systems actually being more dangerous for drivers.
They're trying to kill you.
It's very provocative. Very provocative, Donald. I'm glad you were able to dredge this up.
That's why you never use anything with a computer attached to it. And remember, people, when you're reading, think safe. You can't have no paper cuts when you're trying to live your life and be happy. That's why I wear gloves when I do everything.
So, well, I understand you send out a monthly newsletter. And by send out, I mean you mail out. You physically package a sheet of printed paper in an envelope, put a stamp on
Craig,
there. Send it
Craig,
out.
We do that for the good people. The 13 people that receive our newsletter, and I'm just going to tell you, God has blessed me with those 13 people. I'll tell you that much right now. Because those 13 people are making a difference in this world by understanding safety. I mean, there are only what? Maybe 200 or 300 people in this world? And I've got 13 of them that listen to me, that understand. They're taking a message to the people.
You're looking out for them, Donald. You've got them to sign up. You're sending them your information via a newsletter, and you're printing it on safety edge paper so they don't get paper cuts when they're reading it.
Exactly, son. Now, you got to know, I care about the people. Now, the people of my county, They have tried to elect me president.
I'd find that hard to believe. Now you're telling a tall tale. Donald, we thank you for coming on the program. We do hope you'll join us again in the future.
I hope so, too. It's always good to talk to somebody that understands the goodness
of safety
that this earth has for it. Yep.
Frankly, I'm not. I don't particularly enjoy safety, but okay. We're glad you could join us and fill us in a little bit.
Pray, don't make me start yelling at you on this here radio
box. You wouldn't have the temerity to do that.
I would come through this phone, and I would teach you a nasty lesson.
Goodbye, Donald. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We'll talk to you later. All right. Is he gone, Ben?
He's gone.
All right. Well, chat room, I hope you enjoyed that. Donald Blueberry, the safety advocate, filling us in a little bit.
Yeah, emphasis on the. Good Lord. He was rather potent tonight, wasn't he?
He was feeling his oats, I think.
I bet you he's walking around in circles right now.
He's fired
cursing
up.
Your name to the wind.
Yeah. So we're glad he could make it, and you can sign up for his, what is his website? TheSafetyAdvocate.com?
Mm-hmm.
No, he doesn't.
Unfortunately, when you go to it, nothing shows up.
He doesn't have a website because he's afraid of a carpal tunnel, and frankly, that is a risk.
He is. His credit card got disabled because he didn't have one. So.
Well, there you go. So moving along, that was our new segment. Hope you all enjoyed it for safety's sake with Donald Blueberry. But we've got another segment to get to, and that is a classic, a stalwart of the roundabout lineup, and it's called Meet Your Roadmates. Who's driving that Jeep Liberty next to you? Why do Nissan Sentra owners always work at Coney Islands? Well, each week, Meet Your Roadmates answers these burning questions and more. Ben, we've got a lineup of three vehicles gathered by the official roundabout intern Mark Malonzo. And you're going to walk us through these.
Am I now?
I don't know. It says Ben.
Oh, does it?
I just read what it says.
Well, you typed it. So, all right, let's see what we've got.
Well, yeah, that's, you're just going to have to do it all then.
Am I?
Because I'm just, yeah, that's going to be a problem because carry the one.
Normally we would have our supercomputer do this, but all of the cycles are busy right now. So, choice number one is a lifted 1965 Chevy Suburban. You might pronounce it Chevy or Shirley.
Shirley. This is a Michelle choice here. It's very, it's like the, what was it called? You guys had the, I want to say Bronco, but that's completely wrong. Blazer.
This is actually pretty sweet. Right here. And number one, it's a manual. Number two, it's really old, so Donald Blueberry would hate it. Number three, there is a Cadillac badge on the steering wheel. And number four, this needs to be a roundabout road trip car.
Well, if we could afford to fuel it, I don't know.
Dude, we will convert it to pee if we have to. I don't care. This is cool. This needs to go on a road trip.
But does it have sync? Can it tell us where gas stations are not?
Could it take a road trip down the driveway? Because it doesn't look like it would make it that far.
Dude, I bet you this thing would... 2012 couldn't kill this thing.
Well, okay. So, Josh, the object of Meet Your Roadmates, we have a lineup of vehicles, and it is our job as each a roundabout player to describe to our audience who would drive this vehicle. So, Josh, why don't we start with you? Who would choose to drive? Who would be the motors behind the wheel of this 1965 Chevy Suburban? Go.
God. Plain and simple, God. Jesus riding shotgun and the Holy Spirit right in the back hanging out with a beer. God. That's it. Right there. The Holy Trinity all in that one vehicle right there. There you go. That's it.
Going biblical, then.
I am.
Michelle, who do you think?
Greatest thing I've ever seen.
Would drive this. Maybe you would drive it. I don't know.
No, I think it's very cool, but I actually think it belongs to, well, I think it's probably being sold by the person who drove it in the mid-70s, and it was the car that they took their wife on honeymoon in, and the car originally belonged to his fourth grandmother's ex-husband, and it might have been her second or third ex-husband, But, you know, it stayed in the family, and he decided to take his wife on honeymoon in it, and so he's kept it all this time just out of sentimentality, and that person would be Zach Bowman's father.
I had no idea he was married many times. Wow, that is how's Zach doing? We haven't heard from him in quite a spell.
I think he's living it up in his 5.0 that he bought for like under $1,000.
Is it a 5.0 yet? I thought it was.
I don't know what. No, it's that ugly fox body that I hate.
Yeah,
that's all I know.
It's a little rusty. So who would drive this? Who do I think would drive this? I imagine this vehicle would have been used extensively up on the island of Vancouver with some lumberjack-esque kind of fellow. He's a scraggletooth guy named Hank. Never married, never had children. Lives in the forest alone in a ramshackle cabin that is about to fall off the edge of a cliff. He actually has it tied to some trees to keep it from sliding down the mountain. He uses this to run supplies out to his whiskey still. He runs out in the backwoods of Vancouver Island, where there is allegedly Sasquatch. So it's a good thing to have a solid vehicle, thick, armor-plated body here to protect you from the man of the forest, as the Native Americans of the region used to call him. the Sasquatch, that is, not the gentleman, Hank, that owns this. 65 was a good year for the Suburban, as you can tell by these classically styled lines, and that's who I think owns it.
But, Craig, the question on everyone's lips is, do you get the wood pile with the car?
Do I get those random pieces of sheet metal? Wow.
I was looking at that going, wait, there's a ladder, sheet metal, there's, you know, body paneling right there. I was thinking, I guess maybe that's off of another pickup truck. And I'm like, well, I guess maybe you just weld them on for safety's sake.
It depends. Is the wood seasoned? Is it a hardwood? That affects the value.
Ooh, that is probably that. That doesn't look like a hardwood.
Looks like box elder, a very fast burning timber. Anyway, We've got several more vehicles to get to, and Michelle, why don't we start with you this time?
Okay.
Sure. What really fast, Craig? I want you to. Minnie is very proud and is saying hello. She's unlike her mother, is being very calm. And wants you to say hello to her.
Oh, she's so sweet.
May!
No, that's Minnie. This is Minnie May.
Oh, Minnie, I'm sorry.
Minnie May?
This is the daughter.
How you feeling, girl? She's a little floppier.
Yeah, isn't she? She looks like May, huh? That's why she's called Minnie May.
Uh-huh. How many little puplins you got now?
Four. We're going to be down to three after tomorrow.
Oh, goody. Another adoption. Minnie May.
Yay,
how many have you gotten out, adopted out so far? How many did she have in the litter?
Five.
Okay. So slowly paring it down.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Minnie May.
Let's see. Who is going to drive this next car, do you think?
Yes, the 1991 Lexus LS in quotes, 400 full 1L tour power. Leather moonroof, 20-inch DaVinci wheels, inspected, $2,800.
DaVinci with an H. Maybe it's a special brand.
DaVinci. It's Italian. And it's in Farmingville.
Which is very different from Farmington Hills.
Right.
Do they grow food there,
I wonder? It's nice that the wheels have been inspected, because they were obviously rent-to-owns. Do you guys have that in Detroit where people rent wheels to own them, like televisions?
No.
Really?
I don't know. Well, maybe. I don't even know how that works, though.
They don't ever own it.
Just think about Rent-A-Center, except for wheels.
Exactly. We have
that. If you miss a payment, they come repossess your
wheels.
One at a time.
Wow.
It's true.
Yeah.
Pure America.
Troy Aikman and Hulk Hogan are the spokespersons.
So let's see. I think this actually belongs to somebody who is unexpectedly without a college education and a GRE found their way into some like sales level where they suddenly got a job actually doing like pharmaceutical sales, and they realized that this wasn't going to cut the mustard.
That's a very good descriptor, Michelle. You win.
Ding, ding.
Da Vinci wheels. All right, are you all set then?
Wheels.
Well, I guess I'll go next. This is just gaudy. This is horrible. This is somebody with terrible taste. This is somebody that wears
really
plaid with stripes. This is.
Sorry, when you said that, I had an exact human being in mind that I've met before.
Your father.
Oh, maybe.
Mr. Lewis Sr. wouldn't want one of these. That's you know who drives this? Josh Lewis drives this car. It's got the wheels he likes. They're ostentatious. They make a statement. He can make inappropriate bladder-related comments with the windows, the power windows that roll down. It's been inspected. It's been to the car doctor. It's all clean. Checks out clean. So he has no trouble getting inside it. And that's the way it is. This is the Lewis Mobile. Done. Beat that, Josh.
Let's put it this way. We're not making a road trip in it anytime soon because I don't want to get my Dimenchies ruined. Dude, I love how it says there, you know, there are, of course, no commas or anything at the top, you know. But so I love how it says power leather moonroof. So when I first read it, I was like, how does it have a power leather moonroof?
It's a new technology.
I just thought power leather moonroof. I was like, whoa, that's awesome. Who drives this car? Oh, God. I mean, I have an exact person in mind that I've met before. The problem is it would be
name them on air. Give us their Facebook. Otherwise, not interesting.
The problem is it would be incredibly racist to do so because I think he may be in a gang. So...
there's Armenian gangs, there's white gangs. How are you being racist? I'm confused.
He is black. He is like
that's
we're
what
talking...
I thought you were getting at. You're so subtle, Josh.
For once, he is trying to be Michelle.
This is missing link African American. This guy is like you would think he was the missing gene that puts it all together. No, this would be. This would be Lil Wayne's car before he got famous. What do you think?
I don't know who that is.
I think it's more Wayne's car from Wayne's World when he got famous.
Oh, no, they wouldn't be this ostentatious with the wheels.
Oh.
They would be at least 34s. I don't know who drives this. I mean, Craig, you and Michelle were rather good with this one.
Michelle won that round.
Yeah, Michelle won that one. That was definitely Michelle. I can't say anything because this is just Michelle's too good.
All right. I'll go first here on this next one. Then we've all have gone first, suffered through it. We've got a labor of love, a partially restored 1979 Dodge Lil Red Express.
Lil Red.
Lil guy. It's a slant six, and it's in East Central. East Central what? I don't know. Austin, Texas, I guess. For $2,000, how about that? Look at that factory fresh paint.
Mm-mm.
It's coming off in sheets, so it's easy to polish. Drives a little... a misguided hot rod enthusiast would have this. They're going after... They want a muscle car.
This is ready-to-own rat rod.
It's pre-ratted out by its, you know, 30-plus years of service. No, it's got a new battery in it. It's got a rebuilt carburetor. It's got a new starter, new fuel pump, new distributor, and a list of other new things, except not
new paint.
And
mismatched wheels.
And what?
Mismatched wheels.
Oh. Well, that's okay.
You know, they do that in racing all the time.
It's for better cornering in this truck.
Yeah.
But, Craig, you left out the most important thing.
Oh.
Oh. And it has a gun rack! Exclamation point!
No, Zach Bowman next.
as if it were like, oh, I almost forgot about the gun. Holy crap! You know, that was the last minute edit.
Oh yeah, that's the clincher, is what that is.
This is classic showmanship, guys. He starts out with the mundane, the boring. It's got a new battery, rebuilt starter, voltage regulator. Who cares about that stuff?
Great, it's going to be reliable.
He's building to the crescendo gun rack.
Now you can shoot that deer while you're driving past it.
That's not a safe situation. He's only asking.
This understatement of the year when he said, "I've also done a lot of Bondo repair from dents."
First of all, Bondo is not a repair.
Like Bondo.
Bondo ain't a repair. Oh. Yeah, I pass.
Well, I guess Michelle, you want to take this one, or you want me to go?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I gotta admit, this is pretty cool. But the guy who drives it is probably the douchebag from Forrest Gump that was trying to run Forrest down when he was in high school. It's that guy. That guy truck that was trying to kill poor old Forrest when he was running. This is, God, who else drives this car or this truck? I don't know. Somebody who wants to, like, tie somebody to the bumper and pull them along. Good Lord. I bet you this guy in real life probably doesn't know that there's any bit of life outside of his, like, little county.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of 500 other people that live there.
It's a rural person's vehicle, huh?
Well, I can I go now?
Yes, you may. Absolutely.
Okay, so given that, like, it's sitting in front of a pretty nice house with a pretty well cared for lawn, and it's in the Austin area, and that house of that age is not cheap in the Austin area. I'm going to say this guy lives with his parents. I'm also going to say this guy, according to his Craigslist ad, is moving to New York, and I'm thinking the guy doesn't have a job, and he is probably a blogger. And again, seeing who thinks this truck is actually cool, I'm going to say that this guy has like this idea that he wants to take it with him to New York, but his parents have basically put their foot down and said, "We're tired of this thing sitting in our backyard. If you're going to New York and we're going to have to support you, you've got to sell this damn thing."
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I say.
Well, I think you win again because there's no topping that.
She's on the money for a few things. The only thing I have a problem with, this guy, when he moves to New York, if he drives this pickup truck, and he's the kind of person I think he may be, holy hell, he's in for a rude awakening of rude people. He's probably never met a gay person in his entire life.
Scott in Cleveland says, that's no Lil Red Express. It's a big red mess. I think that sums it up.
I love it.
I just love labor of love. Like you just, like, all his life.
Smearing plastic body filler into giant dents. It's a labor of love. Yep.
I mean, that's just the start. The guy's never had a girlfriend. He's never seen art before. He's just, you know, I worked on my Bondo pickup truck tonight. It felt good.
Like, he finished off a six-pack of Natural Light, yes.
And then beat my old lady.
And on that note, I think we have a show, guys. That's it. That's the last segment. Can you believe we crossed the finish line? I know, Michelle. Hi. Devastating. So, did you guys have fun? Good time? Did we over-promise and under-deliver or under-promise and under-deliver?
You are always over the top, Craigie.
A little bit of everything.
But Michelle Naranjo with AutoByTel, we thank you for joining us again, as always.
Well, thank you for having me, Craigie. I appreciate being back, and I'll see you again in 2 weeks in person.
Live, 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 live in studio. Did I mention it was live? You'll be right here.
I will be in studio with Stephen J. Ewing and Dave Sullivan.
That is correct. Affirmative.
Yay, us.
Oh, yeah. So thank you, Michelle. You are with AutoByTel.com, in case anybody wasn't aware of that. But shame on them if they weren't. Right?
Mm-hmm. Shame.
What are you guys working on now?
Oh, gosh.
Besides a lot, because there's always something going on in the AutoByTel.
You know what? The most interesting thing going on right now is AutoByTel's and Roundabout Show's former panel member.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey and Ross is watching his wife, Amanda, hopefully push out their Friday the 13th baby. Hopefully.
We should get a live feed on that.
You know how he like texted me his entire time, like including when he was walking down the aisle during the wedding. I think he learned his lesson, and so he's not saying very much to me because I blab.
You are Miss Motor Mouth. Come on, he knows that.
Hello.
It's right in the name, right?
But anyway, we just hopefully when I see you guys in 2 weeks, we will be have good reports and pictures of our latest little Autobitalian.
Yeah, that is awesome. Well, we wish him the best of luck with that, and hopefully everything goes okay, and there's not a lot of trouble. And yeah, we'll hear the news once there is news to be heard.
Yes.
Woo-hoo. Thank you, Michelle, so much. So. Moving along, Joshua McLewis.
Hello, Craig.
Rotto's.
Com. Yes.
Rotto's.com.
Rotto's.com. Yes.
And surveys. I hate surveys.
go to rawautos.com. We have the new BMW 335i luxury line. We have some stuff about the McLaren MP4 12C. We have a couple of reviews that I'm currently writing.
Oh, you write too.
What'd you say?
You're a writer, huh?
I do everything, Craig. Uh-huh. And then, yeah. So, okay. I mean, I call myself a writer. Most people just call me an ass.
Look at, look fact, at all that Michelle, text, too. You're typing something out. Gosh almighty. Yeah,
oh, I have something to read you guys when Josh finishes.
Oh,
I was going to say.
He's done.
Sure
you're cut off. Cut his mic, Ben. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm sure Michelle thinks I'm an ass every day of my entire life.
No, I don't actually think about you most of the time.
Nicely said. I was hoping for something a little bit different, but that was good. That was
hilarious.
Good,
okay, what were you going to say, Michelle? You have the floor.
Oh, no. I just had a text from our fan of roundabout shows named Tim Healy, right, from Web 2 Cars with a Z. He said, I just drove a ZL1 20 miles in the rain with traction control off and mode set to track. I have balls of steel. I am all that is man. And that part is in caps.
Oh, that's
well,
charming.
Donald Bloomberry would not be very happy about that one.
Well, he wouldn't be out in the rain. He'd catch cold.
Exactly. Who does that? Yeah.
So there you go. Well, thank you guys for your help. And Ben, we got to thank you. Important news to announce, though. 2 weeks, Michelle will be joining us live, as we mentioned. But next week, there ain't going to be a roundabout.
Yep.
Where are you going to be, Craigie?
No.
It's where's Ben going to be?
I know where Ben's going to be.
He's going to be on the West Coast, Michelle. Maybe you should fly up to Seattle.
I'm his wedding his date. For what the are you wedding. Talking about?
You could be his date for the wedding.
I am.
Wait, who's getting married?
Ben and I.
But you're already married to Steven.
Shit.
You could be sister husbands.
Let's move to Utah, Ben.
So, yes, Ben is going to his best friend's wedding in the Seattle.
The Seattle.
And he won't be here next week.
So we will not have a show. So I know we've been on again, off again, on again, off again. We will be off again. But then we hope we will be quite regular. And by that I mean shows.
Is that a musical regular?
Well,
yes.
Like, there'll be lots of shows.
Regular?
That's what I meant.
So shows. Ben, next week at this time, you will be giving a best man speech of some sort at the rehearsal dinner.
Michelle, streaks on the china never mattered before.
Are we going to get a preview, or are we going to get like some recorded of you giving your best man speech?
Somebody has to record it. They better.
Yeah. I don't know if we're going to
wait. You're
going to
be the best man.
He's the best.
He's number one.
So not only do you think you are the best man in the world, this person who happens to be a friend thinks that you are the best man.
I'm just amazed I have a friend.
So. He didn't just drive a Camaro ZL1 30 miles in the rain with the traction control set to competition. But
I figured you'd be the maiden of honor.
Well, I don't know.
No.
Well, that's a nice thing to say.
So anyway, no roundabout next week. So I'm sorry, or you're welcome. Anyway, moving along.
Coming.
Don't forget, you can watch Roundabout Live every Friday evening starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time or a little bit later. 3:30 on the West Coast, except next week. And don't forget to check out the rest of the Autoline family of fine programs, including Autoline This Week, Autoline Daily, and, of course, Autoline After Hours, our whole spread, our video audio buffet.
Autoline Daily, which has been recently featuring Craig Cole every so often.
On occasion, I worm my way in there. Thank you, Michelle. We are on the social media stuff. We're doing Twitter and Facebook. Just go to twitter.com/roundaboutshow. Again, facebook.com/roundaboutshow. Pretty easy to find us. If you have trouble, just give a search. You can get involved, post stuff, check us out. We've got lots of good stuff going on. If you never want to miss an action-packed episode, you can subscribe. There are a number of different ways you can do that. You can do it with a traditional podcast catcher like iTunes, or you can use a neat little applet called Stitcher and just stream Roundabout Live from your smart, equipped telephone. Either way, it's great, it's fresh, it's ROAB, and it's good for you. Look at that hand there, Ben, and bacon.
Bony.
Yeah. Anyway, with that, thanks to all of you out there listening. Please join us again next week as we circle the roundabout, and we will talk to you then.
Horse cocky.
That's a show.
We're done. Thank you, chat room. Get the hay out of here.